Welcome to Zichud Daf Simani. I'm Rabbi Avram Goldar, and today we're in Masechus Erevin Daf Nedalet. The majority of this daf deals with retaining one's learning. So the three topics are going to focus on number one. Rav Ami said regarding the pasuk, "Ki na'im ki tishmarim bivinecha, yikon yachdav asvasecha," for it is sweet when you retain them, meaning the words of Torah, in your belly, set together on your lips. Amos ha'divrei Torah ne'imim, when are the words of Torah sweet? Bizman shetishmarim bivinecha, when you retain them in your belly, meaning that you do not forget them. And when do you retain them in your belly? When they are set together on your lips, meaning when you arrange the words of Torah in an orderly fashion and express them with your lips. Rabbi Zera said that this can be learned from the pasuk, Simcha le'ish b'mana piv v'davar b'ito matov. A man has joy in the answer of his mouth and something in its proper time, how good it is. Amosai, Simcha le'ish. When does a man have joy in his learning? Bizman shema'ana b'fiv, when the answer is in his mouth. Point number two, a Bryson presents the Seder Mishnah, the procedure in which the Torah Shebaal Peh was originally taught to Klal Yisrael, in which Moshe, Aaron's sons, and the Zekanim taught the Torah four times. Rebbe Lezer said, we learn from here, Chayv Adam Lishnas L'Talmidav Arba Pamim. A person is obligated to repeat each lesson to a student four times. For if Aaron, who learned directly from Moshe Rabbeinu, who learned a directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, had to learn this way, Hediyot, Mefi Hediyot, Alachas Kama V'Kama, that an ordinary person, from an ordinary person, all the more so. Rabbi Kiva says, we learn from the pasuk, "V'lamdes b'nei Yisrael," and teach the b'nei Yisrael, that a person is obligated to teach a student until he knows it. From the pasuk, "V'sima b'fiyam," and put it in their mouths, we learn that one is obligated to repeat a lesson, "Ad shetehei sedur b'fiyam," until it's fluent in their mouths. The Gemara later brings the story of Rabbi Prado, who needed to repeat a lesson 400 times to a certain student, and one time he needed to teach it an additional 400 times. And point number three, Rav Chista said, "Ein Torah niknes el b'simanim." Torah knowledge cannot be acquired except with simanim, which is learned from the pasuk "sima b'fiyam," put it in their mouths, which you expound "al tikra sima el simana." Don't read it as "sima put," but as "simana." Riavod derived the teaching from the pasuk "hatzivu lach tziyunim tzimilach," set up signs for yourself, make for yourself, which teaches us "asu tziyunim v'torah," make signs for the Torah. And Rabbi Lazar derived it from "amro chokhma achosi at modu labina tikra," say to wisdom, "you are my sister, and you should call understanding a relative," which teaches us "asim modaim v'torah," make signs for the Torah. So once again, the 3 points are: number one, Rav Ami said regarding the pasuk "ki naim ki tishmerem b'vitnecha yikoni yachdav asvasecha," for it is sweet when you retain them, meaning the words of Torah, in your belly, set together on your lips. Amosai divrei Torah ne'imim. When are the words of Torah sweet? Bizman shetishmer bevitnecha, when you retain them in your belly, meaning that you don't forget them. Ve'emesai tishmer bevitnecha, and when do you retain them in your belly? Bizman shekoni yachdav asvasecha, when they are set together on your lips, meaning when you arrange the words of Torah in an orderly fashion and express them with your lips. Rabbi Zera said that this can be learned from the pasuk "Simcha ish b'mana pi v'davar b'ito matov." A man has joy in the answer of his mouth and something in its proper time. How good it is! Amosai simcha l'ish. When does a man have joy in his learning? Bizman shema'ana b'fiv. When the answer is in his mouth. Point number two. A Bryson presents the Seder Mishnah, the procedure in which the Torah Shebaal Peh was originally taught to Klal Yisrael, in which Moshe, Aaron's sons, and the Zekanim taught the Torah four times. Rabbi Eliezer said, we learn from here, Chayv Adam Lishnas L'Talmidav Arba Pamim. A person is obligated to repeat each lesson to his student four times. For of Aaron, who learned directly from Moshe Rabbeinu, who learned it directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, had to learn this way, Hediyot, Mefi Hediyot, Alachas Kama V'Kama. Then an ordinary person, from an ordinary person, all the more so. Rav Akiva says, we learn from the pasuk "V'lamdes b'nei Yisrael," and teach the b'nei Yisrael that a person is obligated to teach his student until he knows it. From the pasuk "Vasima b'fiyam," and put it in their mouths, we learn that one is obligated to repeat a lesson, "Ad shetehei sedur b'fiyam," until it's fluent in their mouths. The Gemara later brings the story of Rabbi Prado, who needed to repeat a lesson 400 times to a certain student, and one time he needed to teach it an additional 400 times. And point number three, Rav Chista said, "Ein tor niknes el b'simanim." Torah knowledge cannot be acquired except with simanim, which is one from the pasuk "Sima b'fiyam," put it in their mouths, which we expound, "Al tikra sima el simana." Do not read it as sima, as put, but as simana. Rabbi Abo derived this teaching from the pasuk "Hatzivilach tziyunim similach." Set up signs for yourself, make yourself, which teaches "Asu tziyunim v'torah," make signs for the Torah. And Rabbi Elazar derived it from "Amr l'chokhma achosi at modu lavina tikra." Say to wisdom, "You are my sister, and you shall call understanding a relative," which teaches us "Asu modaim v'torah," make signs for the Torah. All right, so now we go to our siman for Daf Nun Daled, and the siman is noodles, but we're going to use a pasta chef for the siman, so here goes. The great pasta chef who recited his grand recipes by memory with joy in his belly, while teaching his apprentices at least four times, had seen money signs all over his kitchen to help him remember them. Once again, in slow motion. The great pasta chef, that must be more duff, Nundalit for noodles. The great pasta chef who recited his grand recipes by memory with joy in his belly, which reminds us that it's sweet when you retain your learning, which is accomplished when you arrange your Torah in an orderly fashion and express it verbally. So the great pasta chef who recited his grand recipes by memory with joy in his belly while teaching his apprentices at least four times, which reminds us that if Aaron HaKohen needed to be taught Torah Shebaal Peh four times, then all the more so we should teach our students at least four times. Rabbi Akiva said, one is obligated to teach a student until he knows it. And the Gemara brings the story later on of Rabbi Preda, who one time taught his student 800 times. So the great pasta chef who recited his grand recipes by memory with joy in his belly while teaching his apprentices at least four times had simanim signs all over his kitchen to help him remember them, which reminds us of the different sources that were brought that express the concept that Torah is only acquired by using simanim. So once again, the great pasta chef who recited his grand recipes by memory with joy in his belly while teaching his apprentices at least four times had simanim signs all over his kitchen to help him remember them. All right, now it's time for a four-block back chazara. Daf Nun. So the simple Daf Nun is a nincompoop, a silly, foolish person. So here goes. The nincompoop, that must mean we're on Daf Nun. The nincompoop who spent all day trying to figure out how to define a four-arma area under a tree, which reminds us on Daf Mem Tesama Beis, Rav stated, the one who did not specify his makam shvisa under a tree not only does not attain a makam shvisa there, but he also doesn't have a makam shvisa in his current location. There are two versions of how Rav explained Rav's reasoning that one doesn't attain a makam shvisa under the tree. The first version is, Mishum de lo Masai Masve, because his four-arma area is not defined. Rashi explains that since it's not defined, he doesn't acquire anything. The second version is, Mishum de Kasavra Koshe Inu Bezeh Achazeh, because he holds that whichever legal situations cannot take effect consecutively, Afil Babas Achazeno, cannot take effect simultaneously. Rashi explains that the halacha allows a person to only establish one Dalet Amos area as his residence, and once he does, he can no longer establish a second residence. He can therefore not designate more than one residence simultaneously, and if he does, none of them are valid. In this case, since the area beneath the tree covers several four Amah areas, and he's not specifying which four Amah area is his residence, it is as if he's designating them all simultaneously, which doesn't work. So the nincompoop who spent all day trying to figure out how to define a four Amah area under a tree, going from tree to tree with 8 to 12 Amahs beneath him, which reminds us of Bai said regarding Rav's ruling, Oshanu el be'ilon shetachta v'shtemisri Amah. It was only taught regarding a tree that has an area of 12 Amahs beneath it, but in the case of a tree that does not have 12 Amahs beneath it, Hari mixes basal nikar. A portion of his residence is recognizable. Rashi explains that since the tree's width is less than 12 Amos, the middle four Amos necessarily include a section of the four Amos area on either side of the tree. Regardless of whether his Dalet Amos is the middle section or one of the side sections, at least a portion of his residence is in the middle four Amos, and Abai considers this enough to establish a residence for him. Rav Huna Bered Rav Yeshua objected, saying there is no basis that the middle four Amos are his residence, and knowing that part of his residence falls somewhere within them is not sufficient to make his residence defined. Therefore, he taught that Rav's ruling applies in a case where the tree has 8 Amos beneath it, but if it had just 7 Amos, Hari mixes basal nikar. A portion of his residence is recognizable beneath the tree. In this case, any division into four Amos units necessitates having the units overlap, at least partially. So the nincompoop who spent all day trying to figure out how to define a four-arma area under a tree, going from tree to tree with 8 to 12 Amos beneath him, finally gave up and sent his servants out in opposite directions to make an error for him. Which reminds us that Bryce is brought to support Shmuel's position on Daf Mem Tes Amud Beis that state that if one erred and placed an error in both directions, believing that an error may be established in two directions, or if he said to his servants, go and establish an error for me, and one of them placed an error for him in the north, and the other placed one in the south, he may travel to the north only as far as his error to the south allows, and he may travel to the south only as far as the error in the north allows, and if the two established tchum boundaries do not overlap, but have him at the center point between them, he may not move from his place. The Gemara asks if this is a tiyuft on Rav, and answers, Rav Tanuhu Upalik. Rav is a Tana, and he's allowed to disagree with the Braisa. Daf Nun Alf. So the Simfer Daf Nun Alf is way to gnawing beaver, which we connect to beaver pelt hats. So here goes. When the goofy looking tour group wearing beaver pelt hats, that must mean we're on Duff Nunolif. When the goofy-looking tour group wearing beaver pelt hats came within 2,000 amos of the Levitical city, which reminds that the Gemara seeks the source that a tchum measures 2,000 amos and brings a brisa with the pasuk that states, "Al yetzei ish mimkomo, let no man leave his place, elu alpayim amah." This refers to the 2,000 amah limit of the tchum. The Gemara asks how it's known that the pasuk is alluding to a distance of 2,000 amas, and Rav Chisna answers by bringing four gezeras shavas that link makom from the pasuk ultimately to the word chutz in the pasuk regarding the open area that surrounds the Ar Levim. As it says, "Umados mechutz le'ir es paskeid ma'alpayim ba'amah," and you shall measure from outside the city on the east side 2,000 amas. So when the goofy-looking tour group wearing beaver belt hats came within 2,000 amas of the Levitical city, their guide had them walk the diagonal distance from one corner to another. Which reminds us, in the Mishnah on Daf Mem Tes Amud Beis, Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus said that the 2,000 amas are agulos, they form a circular area. And the Chomim said, "Merubaos ketavu merubas," they form a square like a square board, 4,000 amas on each side, "kidei shi'anizkar lezavya," so that he may gain the corners. This means that the person can travel the diagonal of a square, which is 1.4 times its side. The Gemara brings a braisa that teaches, according to the Chachamim, that all measurements for Shabbos observers shall be like the square shape around the Ar Levim. Based on this, Rav Achim bar Yaakov said, "Hamavir arba amos b'rishus harabim," one who transfers an object a distance of dalad amos in the rishus harabim, "eino chayv ad shemavir hen v'alach sonan," is not liable unless he transfers it a distance equal to them and their diagonal, which means he's not liable unless he transfers it 5.6 amos, the diagonal of a 4 amos square. So when the goofy-looking tour group wearing beaver pelt hats came within 2,000 amos of the Levitical city, their guide had them walk the diagonal distance from one corner to another, and then showed them how to make an Erev, some with their food and some with their feet. Which reminds us, the Mishnah on Daf Mem Tes Amud Beis stated, "Ha'ani ma'arv b'raglav," a poor man, meaning a traveler with no food, may make an Erev with his feet, meaning with his physical presence. Rav Meir said, "Anu ein lanu el ani," this law is only for a poor man. Rav Yudah said that it applies to both a poor man and a rich man, meaning someone who has food at home. "La'amru ma'arvim b'pas el l'hak el asher," the Chamim did not say for one to make an Erev with food except to make it easier for the rich man. "Shelo yetzev yara b'raglav," so that he should not need to go out before Shabbos begins and make an Erev with his feet, meaning with his physical presence. On our Daf, Rav Nachman and Rav Chista dispute what the Malchokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda is about. Daf Nun Beis. So the Sim for Daf Nun Beis is the newbie to Yiddishkeit. So here goes. The enthusiastic family invited the newbie, that must mean we're on Daf Nun Beis. The enthusiastic family invited the newbie who had set off on the road to his second home to have some dinner and stay the night. Which reminds us, it was taught in the Braisa, "Mi she'esho shnei batim ubenem shnei tchumei Shabbos," one who has two homes separated by a distance equal to two tchumim, meaning 4,000 amas, "kevin shehechzik b'derek," as soon as he takes to the road, "kana erev," he acquires an erev. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda said, even more than this, that even if his friend met him as he was setting out to travel and said to him, "Spend the night here because the weather is too hot or cold for traveling," and he followed his advice, "L'macher mashkin v'holach," the next day, which is Shabbos, he may rise and travel to the next city. Now there's Malkovs writing, what was Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda's additional leniency? Rabbi said that everybody agrees that he needs to verbally declare that his desired residence is in the next city. Ki pligi gohechzik. They disagree only whether he actually needs to set out for the second city. Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda says he does not, and he only needs to plan to do so. Rabbi Yossi said that everybody agrees that he needs to take to the road. Ki pligi lomar. They would disagree only if he needs to verbally declare that his desired residence is in the second city, and Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda says he does not. So the enthusiastic family invited the newbie who had set off on the road to his second home to have some dinner and stay the night, after they were horrified that their other guest stepped intentionally out of the tchum. Which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, "Mishi yatza chutz l'tchum," someone who exited the tchum, which Rashi explains to mean with das, bemezid, and not for the purpose of a mitzvah, "afila amma achas," even one amma past the boundary, "lo yikanes," he may not enter the tchum. Rabbi Yezer says he may re-enter if he went two ammas, but not if he went three ammas. Rashi explains that according to Rabbi Eliezer, since a person is considered in the middle of his dalad amos, with two amos all around him, the two amos overlap with his original tchum, as he holds of havras tchumim, that the tchumim merge as one. The Tanakhama holds a mezi cannot take advantage of havras tchumim, of overlapping tchumim. So the enthusiastic family invited the newbie who had set off on the road to a second home to have some dinner and stay the night. After they were horrified, their other guest stepped intentionally out of the tchum, claiming he was allowed to wander up to 50 amos. Which reminds us, the last mission of the Perek states, "Misha hechshik chutz l'tchum," one who was outside the tchum when it became dark, even by only one amma, may not enter the tchum. Rabbi Shimon says that he may enter back into the Tchum even if it was 15 amos past the Tchum. Sheinu Moshoch is Mamatzinus Amidos, for the surveyors who place markers to delineate the city's Tchum do not place them exactly at 2,000 amos Mipnei Avtoin, because of those that err, meaning people wander slightly beyond the markers. Rashi gives two explanations regarding the 15 amos. The first pshat is that the 15 amos is lav dafka. Rather, it's an approximation. The second pshat is based on the fact that the surveyors measured the Tchum with ropes measuring 50 amos. Since this necessitates measuring 40 times to make 2,000 amos, and one tefach and a half a etzba of the rope is held by each surveyor at the ends, a total of 15 amos is lost when they measure the Tchum. Daf Nun Gimel. So the Simper Daf Nun Gimel is a Nigerian prince. So here goes. On his second attempt, the Nigerian prince, that must mean we're on Daf Nun Gimel. On his second attempt, the Nigerian prince finally discovered the double cave, which reminds us, Rav and Shmuel disagreed on the meaning of Maris Machpelah. One taught that the cave was Shnei Batim Zeh Lifnei Mezeh, two rooms, one in front of the other, and the other taught, Bayis Ba'ali Al Gabav, it consisted of a room with an upper level above it. The Gemara asks that the term a double cave is indeed a fitting description for a cave with a room and an upper level. Rashi says because it has two ceilings. However, what does the word Machpelah mean according to the one who says that it was a cave with one room behind the other? Rashi explains that essentially it's one cave with two sections. The Gemara answers Shekafula Bezugos, that it had multiples of couples, meaning that many couples were buried there. So on a second attempt, the Nigerian prince finally discovered the double cave, filled with students who meticulously reviewed what the Rebbe said and memorized their learning with simanim. Which reminds Rav Yehuda said in the Merav that the residents of Yehuda neskaim torasam yadam retain their Torah knowledge, unlike the residents in the Galil. Four reasons are given. The Daiki Lishna, that they were precise in matters of language, meaning that they meticulously reviewed what they were taught using the exact language of the Rebbeim. Umas nechelu husimana, and they gave simanim for what they learned to aid in memorization. Rashi explains that since they knew the exact language of the teachings, they were able to attach appropriate symbols to each one. Gamri Mechad Rabba, they learned from only one teacher. Rashi explains that even if two teachers teach the same thing, it might be confusing and difficult to remember because they use different words. And Degal Masechta, Rashi gives two explanations, either that they taught what they learned to others or they sought reasons for what they had learned. So on a second attempt, the Nigerian prince finally discovered the double cave, filled with students who meticulously reviewed what the Rebbe said and memorized the learning with simanim, after listening more carefully to the little boy at the fork of the road, who gave directions. Which reminds Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya said, that in all my days, no one ever beat me in a verbal encounter except for a woman, a little boy, and a little girl. In the incident with the little boy, he was once walking down the road and saw a little boy sitting by a fork in the road. He asked him which path he should take to get to the city. And the boy answered, Zo katsar ba'arucha. This one is short and long, v'zo arucha ba'katsar. And this one is long and short. Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya went down the path that was short and long, and when he approached the city, he discovered that it was surrounded with gardens and orchards that blocked access to it. He went back to the boy and asked him, didn't you tell me that this path is short? The boy responded that he had also told him that it was long. Rabbi Yeshua kissed the boy on his head and said, Ashrechem Yisrael, praiseworthy are Yisrael, shokulchem chachamim gadolim, for you are all very wise, megadolchem ad katanchem, from your old to your young. All right, now it's time to conclude with our pop quiz of 10 questions, plus 3 bonus questions of Maseches Brachos and Shabbos. Number 1, which daf do we have the 2 different pshatim for Maris HaMachpelah? That's on daf Nun Gimel. Good. Number 2, which daf do we have that placing Erevin in two opposite directions does not work? That's on daf Nun. Good. Number 3, which daf do we have the case of someone who had two houses that were two tchumim apart and set out with the intent that the second house is his residence? That's on daf Nun base. Good. Number 4. Which daf do you learn that the way to retain one's learning is to be orderly in your grasp of the material and to verbalize it? That's on daf Nendal. Good. Number 5. Which daf do we have a machlokas whether an erev is mishum kinyan or dira? That's on daf Memtes. Good. Number 6. Which daf do you learn ein Torah niknas ela b'simanim? That's on daf Nundad. Good. Number 7. Which daf we have the 4 reasons why the residents of Yehuda, the Bnei Yehuda, were able to retain their learning? That's on daf Nun Gimel. Good. Number 8. Which daf we learn according to the Chachamim, all Shabbos measurements are measured as a square to include the diagonal distance? That's on daf Nunav. Good. Number 9. Which daf do we have a machlok is what the din is in a case when one walked bemezid outside the tchum? That's on daf Nun Beis. And number 10, which daf? We have 3 different opinions on how to calculate the 4 amma area. That's on daf Memches. Great. Now the 3 bonus questions. Number 1, which daf do you want about the improper ways to say amen? That's on daf Memzayin and Brachas. Good. Number two. Which stuff do you want to coin to Hananya? A ship carried by oxen is Makabal Tumah. That's on Duff. Pay Dalit and Shabbos. Good. And number three, which stuff do you want that one can wear tefillin laid out on Erev Shabbos? That's on Duff. Yud Beis and Shabbos. Excellent. All right, that concludes our pop quiz. This is Rabbi Avram Goldberg from Zichri wishing you a great day and great learning.